Hello, heroes. Welcome back to Heroes of the Horn. As I was kind of talking to you a little bit about this, just because I was like, man, so shocked, by the way. I have some renewed faith in Rafe Judkins. Okay. Yeah, I feel good. I actually feel really good about this. Okay. Because we've talked a lot about his like adaptation, and we've also also talked about, like, you know, his experience or inexperience as like a screenwriter or whatever.
Is like going out and Survivor. Yeah.
Like going out. He started out as a Survivor contestant. So
yeah.
And Wheel of Time was originally being sort of like announced and everything. And we're like, who's this guy doing? I don't know. It's hard to actually view his movie credits. So I did not know, mostly because I haven't looked at his like Wikipedia since, you know, before Wheel of Time was coming out.
Right.
But and I did not see this movie in theaters, but I was waiting for it to the streaming service because I very much enjoyed the video games. I mean, to be honest, the video games are some of the best video games ever made, all time. I did not know that he was the screenwriter, did the whole like screenwriting for the Uncharted movie, which you know, is based off the Uncharted video games, which is big Sony franchise on PlayStation. Mm-hmm. Which also now tells me 100% that the Wheel of Time show is way more Sony involved than Amazon. Because we've always been kind of like confused by the marketing of this show. We're like, how is it that all these other shows like The Boys and some of these other Amazon things feels like the marketing are just like on totally different levels. Like something's going on here.
Yeah.
So now it tells me, well, it's probably way more Sony handled than Amazon handled. Because sometimes you just see that, oh, it's a collaboration. But you don't really know until you can,
like, who's gonna get more
collaboration, actually has more power
right in it.
So nonetheless, I was so shocked when I saw at the end of that movie that Rafe had written it, and I was like, wow, here he is adapting I think there's about 6 Uncharted games. And so the story is, you know, it kind of bounces around a little bit too, but man, I watched that movie and I was just so I really enjoyed it. It's probably the best video game movie adaptation ever, because a lot of video game movies, unfortunately, have not really ever been that good. Like, in all honesty, Mortal Kombat, the first one, is probably the best, was the best. I mean, we watched that more recent Mortal Kombat movie. It was bad. And even stuff like the Assassin's Creed movie, and, you know, don't get me started on the Street Fighter movie. Bad. But yeah, so this Uncharted movie, you know, it has Tom Holland, has Mark Wahlberg.
And those are big names.
Big names. And so, man, it's definitely sort of an odd adaptation of the games, because Tom Holland feels still like he's, you know, like 17. And the character, Nathan Drake, it's kind of, for those of you guys who don't know anything about it, it's kind of this sort of Indiana Jones type, you know, Tomb Raider is what it's ultimately sort of like inspired by, you know, National Treasure. You're hunting down these ancient mysteries and stuff, like ancient, you know, lost treasure and things like that. And it's sort of like a buddy thing too. But the character in the video games, Nathan Drake, who Tom Holland is portraying, is really supposed to be like in his, like, I don't know, mid-30s. And it feels like, so there's that was definitely kind of like a weird weird thing. Yeah. Right. A weird casting. But they took actually story from like Uncharted 4, which takes place like at the end of the series, and sort of brought it forward in terms of this middle, and made it like the beginning story of this whole of this whole thing, but then used cool elements from other scenes throughout the game series, and it did well enough. It's going to get a sequel, and they want to do a handful of movies with it.
Yeah.
So, what I'm ultimately trying to get to here is, I feel a little restored, right? Because I saw that, I was like really surprised, and it got my head spinning, you know, about the Wheel of Time, because in this movie, the Uncharted movie, he takes like some big set pieces and moments that happen in like Uncharted 1, 2, and 3, but then combine it in this movie.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's kind of what's going to have to happen in Wheel of Time, is you're going to have to begin to pull a lot of these big moments throughout the series, which we've talked about several times, and sort of mix and match and do that, which to me is now leading me to believe, hey, as we've seen some more of these trailers for Wheel of Time season 2, you know, we've talked about the end of this being Great Hunt, Dragonborn, or Bind combined. I'm thinking so. And I think we could also see a lot more of these big moments happen in sort of different places. So in the Uncharted movie, one of the things that happens is there's this cool scene where they're fighting inside this airplane, right? It's like a cargo airplane or whatever. Mm-hmm. And what ends up happening is the door opens and there's like all these bad guys and they're fighting. And so all this like, you know, big stuff gets shot out of this plane or whatever. And so the character, Nathan Drake, Tom Holland is portraying the character Nathan Drake. He ends up like falling out. And so they're like falling in the sky and he's like got to grab onto this sort of like cargo, you know, that's got like a parachute or whatever and sort of fight some guys. And it's a really cool action sequence. But say it takes place in, say, Uncharted 3, even though it's kind of the story of like Uncharted 4 and stuff like that. So it's like, if this is the kind of writer Rafe is, I think we're definitely going to see a lot more stuff that like, it's a big scene that happens. It's going to take place in a different spot with a different thing. And I don't know. I just feel really, I feel more enthusiastic now about the way the direction of the series is going to be going.
Yeah, no, I love this. This is encouraging to me because, as you said, you're not watching. You watched it and you were just like, okay, I'm a fan of the video game. And you're watching it. And at the end, you're like,
huh? When the credits roll, it's like, wait, what? Like,
right. Exactly. So that is highly encouraging. Because, you know, again, like you said, when you first started out, I actually was season one, other than the final episode, I really thought they did a good job. I know people are going to cry blasphemy on any change whatsoever. And those people can just take a backseat because I'm sorry, but like, again, they're offered a budget. They are essentially told, hey, you have five, let's say they say, look, you're not even guaranteed a you know, nine seasons to tell this or eight or whatever. You just have this one and you have to do number one to get number two. And then we're going to green light number three. Right. But he has to sort of have like, OK, maybe they're going to give me five seasons and I'm going to work from that and see what we do. You're adapting something. It's different. It has to change. There are way too many characters. It's wild. So I'm about to do something kind of some blasphemy here. Okay, because I'm about to share something like Matt's not going to know who this character is, although he has heard of this character. but I'm gonna show everyone something. So for our Wheel of Time listeners and for our veteran readers, there's a fan casting going around, and there's major rumor that season three is going to bring in a character that Matt does not show up until well beyond the point where we are at, and you don't even just I think knowing her name is not going to hurt anything whatsoever. Right. Okay, you're just going to know that a big character is on.
Well, I think I know the character you're talking about, but I don't know what happens with her yet. Yeah,
right. And so I don't think this is going to be a problem.
Cad Swain.
Yeah. So you have this, people are casting, fan casting, and I forget her name, but she is I'm so sorry because I wish I could. Her name is here on the screen. You guys can see if you're over on YouTube. I have her Twitter account pulled up here, but she's in The Expanse and she's been in a couple different things and she's like being fan cast as Cad Swain. So it's a piece that is way later in the series. Now, this is, again, fan speculation and stuff like this, but there are a lot of different, I don't know, like rumors and things kind of coming up where people are like, they could be moving a set piece way far down the line, like get through three seasons with Moraine and then bring in this character to carry us through the final couple seasons or whatever. And it's going to be really, it's just really interesting. And so I thought this was kind of cool. And I wanted to share it because you had said that they brought something from the fourth video, like you know, moving around because you have to adapt it. And so I'm like, okay, let's do this. This is Errol Burgess, by the way, who, by the way, did a bunch of Wheel of Time art way back in the day. And you can see, I mean, you could just see the number of tweets where it's pretty emotional, humbled by the overwhelming support from all of you, the discussions on Twitter and YouTube about this, you know, her portraying Cad Swain. The fact that she's sharing this and the fact that she pinned this up here on her, let me see here. Yeah, I love your sense of humor. I mean, the actress is pinning this.
What is her name? Oh, wow. How do you even pronounce that?
I will look it up and I totally apologize before because I just wanted to she plays you know, she has listed here kind of, you know, just her different she's been on The Expanse and that's so she's known for playing that character there. So I've only watched a little bit of The Expanse. Need to finish it, need to get caught up on it. But it was just so cool to see her pin this here and say, what's all these suggestions about me playing, you know, a character in Wheel of Time? I don't know. She's having fun with it. She's sort of playing around with this idea. I think it's super interesting that this is a thing. So anyway, I wanted to mention that because Rafe might be doing some stuff like this. He might really be taking some stuff from later on and saying, I got to make the best show that I can here. And we're talking TV. So you can no longer say like, well, it doesn't match up to the books, therefore it's not good. No, it's just got to be good TV. All of those, that small minority of people who are going to be book griping, they're not trying to get you guys. They already got you to watch it. Right. You know what I mean? They already got the book people to watch the show. They're trying to expand the audience, and that's great for the books as well. So,
right. And I'm still always said, I'm willing to give every show two seasons, because there's a lot of shows where you go back and watch the first season and you're like, what is this? Even shows that turned out to be some of the biggest in history. Like, go watch The Office season one and go watch The Office season two, and night and day, they're different. The feel, everything, totally different. Right. Like, The Office season one feels like it's on a shoestring budget, and like the characters, you know, like Michael Scott's hair is like slick back. Like, they obviously, you know, then you get to view that fan feedback and change it. Also, we've said it before, season one of this show, I'm also willing to give a little bit of a pass just because, an actor flat out leave. It was filmed during like COVID when everybody thought the world was ending. And so, you know, we have to sort of see, you know, how that all plays out and everything. And we've already seen some of the production stuff for season two, and it looks bigger and better. So, you know, we just have to go forward. But I will say, just on that, I do feel a little more restored in my faith of Rafe. Now that I've seen another thing that he's done, I'm like, oh, this is pretty good. So I'm definitely excited there. There was just to shift gears a little bit here, but it's going to kind of tie into what we're talking about. There was some news, and I can't remember if we talked about this on the last episode or not.
That's okay. Let's rehash it. Yeah.
That, you know, Rosamund Pike came in and she did The Eye of the World. Yeah. Redid the audiobook.
Right.
Now they are redoing the audiobooks they already announced that they're doing the second two books, and she is doing that, The Great Hunt and Dragon Reborn. And The Great Hunt is coming out here in a few months, I believe. And then Dragon Reborn is coming out sometime next year. They didn't say when, but I'd have to imagine that Wheel of Time season two release date is gonna somehow co-align with these.
Right. Yeah, because they typically
correlate. Is that the word? Yes, the word.
Correlate. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Although I like Coraline, I think that actually makes
Coraline. I'm making up a new word. I don't know. It's like co-align slash correlate.
So let me just see here real quick, because I think, like you said, didn't they release The Eye of the World? Her audiobook was coming out like right before season one.
Like with it. Yep.
Like around the same time. I think you're spot on. So if I'm looking to see when The Great Hunt kind of comes out, but that's really cool. People enjoyed listening to her read it, and I think she did a good job. I listened to a snippet of The Eye of the World, and it was fantastic. So this is cool. It's another way to kind of promote and indicate, hey, we have something coming out. Rosamund Pike is again Moraine, and is going to voice, or you know, do the next two audiobooks. So if you've got Great Hunt coming out here pretty soon, I think we had said maybe. Didn't they say something like maybe late 2022 or early 2023? Because that would be
kind of... don't know that there's a... It might already be even be out.
The Great Hunt? Really? Okay.
The Great Hunt audio, yeah. Oh, August 2nd. So it just came out. Yeah, so The Great Hunt will be available on August 2nd. So it's out now. And then Dragon Reborn arriving sometime in 2023. So she's actually done a lot of audiobooks, I guess, by the way. Like, she's definitely, which, first of all, she has a great voice for narrating audiobooks.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
And I have not listened to these versions yet, because I'm still, you know, acquiring all the audiobooks of the original, but I probably will. I'll probably will get her version as well. But I think it's just, hey, maybe this might be something going forward. We can see, is their plan to just do one a year? Or are they going to like try to get some of these out to go along with like the seasons?
Right. That's an interesting point here. So I'm just looking at like an article here from the Nerdist that is kind of, it's saying that we're going to focus again. They're indicating, you know, we've theorized this, right? Which is The Great Hunt and The Dragon Reborn is when this is going to be kind of be set. And then I'm just looking.
I do think they are going to bring in some elements of Shadow Rising, though. I think it's really the next three books.
Right. Yeah. Oh, here we go. Here's this little thing. So, God, people, I love this because they're tracking down stuff on Twitter. Somebody said, how many episodes will season two be? If only eight again, will they be longer? And Rafe said, they are longer than first season. Yes, still only eight. So that was just a few days ago.
Okay.
Confirming that there are eight episodes, but they are going to be longer than the first season. So
the runtimes for House of the Dragon are out, and a lot of those are like 66 minutes, 68 minutes, and stuff like that. So a little bit, and that's like 10 episodes.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
So that's going to be sick.
Gotcha. Wow.
But with Wheel of Time, I think that would be, you know, because I just don't get it. Like, you know, like you, if it's not airing on television, right. So like HBO shows air on TV. Okay. Now there, at least it's still like a subscription service, whatever, like television show. But at least then, like, you need stuff to kind of line up because you want things like, okay, this starts at 6 and 7, you know, like you want it all to kind of match. So it's better as like a TV viewer. Right.
Right.
Whereas with like Amazon, it's just like, it's just there. It doesn't air on TV or anything. It's just there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 Interesting. Yeah, just looking real quick. So remember we saw that little reel where they said that they'd wrapped for season two, and then they announced mm-hmm. like season three is in the works or whatever. So yeah, everyone's just saying probably early 2023, which is cool. That's great. That's that's almost a year for a year, right? It ended what? We stopped covering it in January.
I still feel like season two is going to air about like Black. Yeah, sometime mid-November is my
awesome.
just because you look at the timeline, right? I mean, we did the math, and you look at the timeline. It's like they say it takes around 6 months to do VFX,
right?
So you say May, and then we ended up, you know, May is what, 5 + 6 = 11. So that would be within 1 year. It'd be with that it came out, and also it's kind of your next big show after Rings of Power ends. So you go right from sort of Rings of Power into this. Yeah. I think so. I still feel like this is a 2022 show.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, because
maybe it's January 2023, but I don't think you're gonna hold it on the shelf for all that long.
Yeah, no, if it's 2023, it's January. Like you said, it's gotta be something super early, or November, December, you know, in 2022. So because they do that thing where they want to give Rings of Power its time. They don't want to be promoting other stuff, and they're going to just bombard you with promotional stuff right as we're going into Wheel of Time, and the buzz will be, you know, whatever. So that's probably what they're going to do. So I think that you can still hold that 2022 spot.
Right. Amazon also, for their marketing, they have a totally different marketing strategy. I mean, all you have to do is look at their ads, because the advantage Amazon has compared to like HBO and Disney and Warner Brothers, Disney and all these other things is that Amazon has the advantage of Black Friday sales and Cyber Monday sales and Prime Day sales, right? Where they're like, hey, come buy our new Amazon Fire tablets or our Fire TVs. Dude, this was insane. On like Prime Day, apparently there's some sort of like, I don't know, like 42 inch like TV that Amazon sells, like an Amazon branded smart TV or whatever. They were literally selling it for $99.
Oh.
It was insane. Everyone's like, this deal is outrageous. Like, that's the advantage they have, where it's also like the biggest store in the world. So, mm-hmm. you know, like their marketing to me makes a lot of sense. You have Wheel of Time come out around like Black Friday, like it did last year. Hey, come come get a Fire Stick is a Fire Stick or a tablet or a TV is a great Christmas present for somebody. And look at all these cool shows you can watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I'm sorry, man.
You just stumbled on something.
Well, I'm still like, I always debate whether I should share it with Matt or not. Like, as something
is it potential spoilers. Yeah.
So, cause we're at Lord of Chaos. We're at, right. You know, Lord of Chaos is where we're at. We're in this book. I'll just say this. I think something that happens in Lord of Chaos at the end of the book could be happening, if not season two, at the end of season two or at the beginning of season three. So I just want to throw that out there real quick. Cause I'm looking at, you know, and I it's so odd for me because Matt typically in our other projects looks up the leaks and is the one telling me like what's up. And right. I don't like looking up leaks. So I just sort of like tiptoe in there. I'm like, oh, I got to get out of here because this is a little bit much. But I now looking at one of these things, I think the end of season two is going to be absolutely
insane.
Yeah, insane. Like actually like real big. Cause okay, Matt, just one more thing before we part here. If you had to make the best adaptation, you just take the best from 14 books and you say,
right,
what's the best thing that happened in these books and all this, these pages of like just filler stuff that we don't really care about. You don't even touch it. You can allude to it.
You don't need it, man.
You just don't need it. So you take the high moments and like right. you were saying, with the Aiel and stuff, like, dude, we could have some major stuff happening with the Aiel in this. We've got clearly Dark Friends, we've got Forsaken showing up, we've got the High Lord Turok, we've got all of the Shanchen. God, I'm blanking on his name. Freaking guy who's killed off Paige. Aiel guy, right. Whatever. Shido, you know, there. Cool it. Thank you. Yeah, cool it. God dang it. But like some cool stuff that I won't be surprised whatsoever if that makes its way in here.
There's a lot, especially in Wheel of Time, because of the way it's like, it's not like at least other fantasy stuff that I've read, which is like, for me, like the easiest comparison, POV chapters is like Game of Thrones or Song of Ice and Fire. You compare it directly to that. At least like in that, you pretty much know what's going on with like every character at all times in the books. Right.
Yes. Yeah.
Whereas with this, I mean, it's like you'll have a book go by where you don't see Perrin. Well, you're not going to do that in TV. So like, okay, well, you're going to have to like, Perrin isn't even in Fires of Heaven.
Yeah.
Not even in it. Whatever Perrin's doing now in Lord of Chaos or, you know, Shadow Rising, well, then, like, to me, it's like, it's honestly, from where we're at, I think it's actually pretty easy to merge. It feels like every other book, like, you can kind of merge that set of two books together. Like,
yes.
New Spring and Dragon Reborn, there's a lot you can merge. Fires of Heaven, or excuse me, Dragon Reborn and Great Hunt, you can super merge.
Yeah.
Super merge. Shadow Rising and Lord of Chaos, there's a little, like, there's definitely stuff. Like, you don't need, like, obviously six episodes of Circus Chapters, right? But it's kind of like, Rand is, like, way over here doing this thing in this book, and, like, Perrin's doing this. I mean, there's a lot you can definitely merge and bring together.
Well, so, for example, I mean, even... So it's very formulaic, like as in terms of what there's a big thing that happens at the end. If you can look at the end of the books and say, how can we make those big events fit together into one season? Is there a way to merge them? Like we've been talking with, for example, Falma and then, then Tyr, right? And having those two locations be, you know, moving stuff around, Tyr Angreal, moving different items around. Maybe you could do it. Maybe you don't need to have. Or, you know, who knows? But I just feel like there is a way to take those big moments from this book and that book that happen next to one another. Who knows, even much later on, as I alluded to earlier, like that would be cool. If it works and it tells good television, then why not do it? Why hold back from that? You're limited. I mean, Rafe is on the clock here. Like they really are not. If it doesn't make headway, if it doesn't bring in the viewers, if it's not good, you don't get a season four. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I mean, maybe they're going to give them. You don't get the full. Maybe they get to season five and they're like, all right, now tell the rest of your story in three seasons or whatever. You get your full eight or something like that. But like, I just feel like I don't know. I want them to be able to tell the best where they can.
Yeah, I don't know. I have a renewed faith because I've now seen something Rafe has done.
Yeah,
that's like that I really, really, really enjoy. And again, I did really, really enjoy season one. And there's downfalls and stuff like that. So really, I would say that my expectations for season two are now like higher. I've now lifted my expectations, hopes, and whatever for season two, where I'm actually like, okay, now I actually feel good about it. I feel plus the footage the promotional we've seen so far. Oh. I feel like it has taken that next step, and I'm feeling good about it. Even though it's going, there's this year, there's a lot of competition just in terms of like a big fantasy show. I mean, House of the Dragon and everything just seems so, Rings of Power seems like so next level that Wheel of Time feels like the JV team. But
but
I guess I don't know. I mean, season two might be really good. Might be really, really solid. I feel good about it.
Sometimes you get that JV player who has to step up. I mean,
he's right. So, hey, AAA guys get pulled up to the the big leagues every now and then.
Yeah. And that, it feels like that's where they're like, this is trending in a really good direction. And you have, I mean, Rosamund Pike is awesome. And you have, the cast. And I just feel like they're building this world out. I was highly encouraged hearing your news again that you went and saw Uncharted and it was really good. And hearing that or watching the reel. I mean, I don't know. I feel like it's going to do a lot in season two, and there's going to be a renewed energy and faith around it for sure.
Yeah, so. I do think marketing wise, I don't think we're going to see a whole lot until sort of after towards the end of Rings of Power. Right, just because Rings of Power, they put so much money into that. It's like, we have to like super focus on this show, especially because it's going head to head with House of the Dragon.
Yeah,
you got to. And so then I think we'll probably start to see teasers/trailers. What? Probably October.
Yeah, for sure. Here's something else too. Just one last thing. You have House of the Dragon and you have Rings of Power. You have sort of a more risque House of the Dragon and that more conservative sort of like Rings of Power.
But Rings of Power does still feel a little edgy.
It does feel a little edgy. It does. But I Wheel of Time seems to be a sort of a blend of the two. So I feel like you might actually get people from both fandoms going like, okay, what's the next? Yeah, I like this type of genre. I like this type of content. What else is out there? They actually can feed one another if done right. Even though it's like HBO is, has this thing with House of the Dragon. Still, you have people like our friend Sir Jimmy who kind of says, hey, if you like that, you might like this stuff as well.
I also think, and we've talked about this before, I think the transition, I think it's easier to go from Lord of the Rings to Wheel of Time. They're definitely closer because they're a little more high fantasy, whereas Game of Thrones is very low.
That's true.
Like there's magic in Game of Thrones, and there's going to be a lot more dragons in this, but it's not like, you just don't have like wizards out there, like, casting spells left and right. And there's not, like everybody's really in Game of Thrones, other than the White Walkers, everyone's pretty much still a human.
Yeah, for sure.
You don't have other races and stuff. I mean, there are like the Children of the Forest and there's some giants, but like you don't really see them that much. It's not the same. Whereas in like Wheel of Time and Lord of the Rings are much closer.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
In terms of framework.
Yeah, it's encouraging. I think all this is encouraging. And so if you're out there listening or watching, I mean, I would be, we get Wheel of Time content. So I guess to people who are like, I mean, we never thought this would happen. It's sort of a daunting thing. For years, the fandom debated, could you do this? How do you pull this off in movies? And you have a TV show. Even they have a TV show, and they're like, man, even with this TV show, it is tough to like get all this in here. So I think we should be super thankful, and I am highly encouraged by Rafe and his team.
Yeah. So are you thinking? I feel like October is when we get the next trailer.
Yeah. Let's see.
Or when we get, I guess, like the first trailer, because I think Lord of the Rings will have its own. It's got to have its time to shine, and
because it'll have 4 weeks, it'll have September 2nd to October, early October, and if you wait till like mid October and you drop, or even early October is fine, because it's all the way. It's full head of its first 4 to 5 weeks, or you're promoting the heck out of it. And they're doing that right now. I mean, everything that you see out there is these little. Little TV spots, little Twitter drops, different things for Rings of Power, and so that's really doing well. It's really going in a good direction. But then, yes, you give it its time, and I think early October, because let's say you wanted to do something even in early 2023, like January. You still didn't have October, November, December, 3 months to kind of promote it. Maybe they hold off to November if you're going to be in January, possibly. But if it's going to be in December, like it was last year or whatever, wasn't it like end of November, beginning?
It was end of November. Then it went
like Black Friday or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Around that time. Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like you need that, because they'll promote the heck out of something in 1 month. I mean, now Rings of Power is a little bit different because of the name and just what it is and what it represents and the money that they spent. So they've spent a little bit more, I think, you know, Super Bowl trailer, and they've done some longer promotional stuff. But for something like Wheel of Time, they're going to drop it all in 1 month. I mean, is this all going to be like, okay, if it's coming out in November, yeah, October is your, you know.
Right. And well, if they do the same thing, right, if they do three episodes, then it really is only on for, what, 6 weeks?
Yeah, right, exactly.
If it's eight, because you do three, then you do 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Yes.
Yeah.
So yep. Six weeks.
Yeah.
Which then runs you into, yeah, because it finished, I don't think it was into January. I think it was like the last week of December or something.
Yeah, it was really, yeah, you're right. Yeah, because Book of Boba Fett or something was starting for us.
Was coming out. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Dang. Yeah. So, I mean, even if it is the exact same time as before, it's a year for a year, and that feels, you know, good. It keeps people interested. You know, I feel like a project like this size, you don't want to let too much time go by when you're still trying to build its name,
right,
its brand, and all that kind of stuff. If House of the Dragon can get by with it, even Rings of Power could do it.
Right.
But
where you have to wait, like, you, because it feels like a lot of shows now are like every other year.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, like, that's one of those things where you're willing to wait,
like,
for
the
that
time part. The time between Stranger Things season three and season four was like,
oh, right,
man, it felt like it probably was only 2 years, but it felt like three.
Four. Yeah, it felt like 4 years. It was crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, the pandemic was also a part of that, but still, it was right, wild how long it was taking. So yeah. I think this will be probably promoted in October and come out in November again. Why not do the exact same thing as you did before? You know?
Right.
So
yeah. So awesome. All right, guys. Well, thanks. Thanks for listening. Just a quick little update here. There was a little bit of news with like the new audiobooks, and then we now know the episodes are going to be longer, and
right,
I don't know. I'm feeling good, man.
We're encouraged.
So it feels good. So awesome. All right. Well, we will be back with our next part of the reread. So stay tuned for that. That'll be coming here shortly. So as always, guys, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And remember that the grave is no bar to our call.
These days, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries. And with that, we sent away good jobs and our capability to make things. American Giant is a clothing company that's pushing back against this tide. They make all kinds of high-quality clothing and activewear, like sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs in towns and cities across the country. And jobs bring pride. Purpose. They stitch people together. If all that sounds good to you, visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.